Well, let's take our Bibles and turn again to the book of Romans. We're in chapter 5, and we're looking at verses 15 to 17 today. And the title of today's message is?
No comparison.
No comparison. When do you use that phrase, no comparison? It means when you blow the competition right out the water, right? There's just no comparison. Remember the 36 millimeter films. Remember those 36 millimeter film projectors? You could rent them. Our school, growing up, used to, every last day of school, you pay a buck and you get a hot dog and a Coke and maybe something sweet. And the last day, the school would rent a projector and one of these 36 millimeter film reels, and we'd watch some movie. And you could even do that at home. Before we had video stores, my uncle, I remember, had a big living room, and he put a big sheet on his curtain rail, and he rented a projector, and we watched a movie at his house. Did you guys ever do one of those things? Okay. And so it was the late 70s, and the Rocky movie had just come out. Rocky 2 had just come out on film, and we were driving downtown Alberton. That's where we were living at the time as a little kid in the back seat, and I saw this movie store that had the poster up, and I yelled, "Rocky!" And my mom went, in the car and watched. She was trying to look where she was going, so she could reach in the back seat and she could smack me, smack my brother, and smack the dog all at the same time. And it's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm saying, "Rocky 2, it's out at the movies. Let's go and get it. We can go and watch it at home." And so I just love Rocky. How many love Rocky? You know, we love those underdog stories. "Adrian, I love you." You know, we love those underdog stories. The thing about Rocky is when it came to that main fight, it was always so close. Rocky get beaten up, and the last minute, boink, he'd come up, get his strength back, and he'd get the guy and knock him down. There was always such a close fight. I mean, Rocky never, in the main fight, wiped the guy out outright, right? It was always such a close fight. Well, when it comes to Jesus Christ, when it comes to Adam and the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's nothing like Rocky. It's a billion times different. Jesus Christ blows Adam out of the water. And that's what this passage today is about. There is no comparison. Paul comes and brings the comparison and says, this is how they are alike. But then he goes, but actually, there's no comparison. Because Jesus Christ and what he did, the effects of what Adam did compared to the effects of Christ, Jesus blows Adam out of the water. So for the first 11 verses of chapter 5, he's talking about justification by faith. God has declared us justified. It's a declaration from God, the judge. No one can ever change that or recall that, bring it back. We are considered righteous before God if we are in Christ. And we have been reconciled to God. Once enemies, once at war with God, now reconciled in what Christ has done. And now from verse 12 to verse 21, he now brings the connection. Let me explain what this means, the contrast between what Adam did and what Christ has done. And it's so important for us to understand that contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam, Jesus Christ and his righteousness, because if we don't understand that, we don't understand our depravity. And so Paul began the whole book with the bad news to understand the good news. And in chapter 5, he's doing the same thing again. You've got to understand what Adam did and how he affected you and how he is your representative and how you and I are in Adam, every single human being. And then we have to now be adopted to be in Christ in order for him to be our new federal head and representative. So what he does is he brings in this contrast, like a jeweler. When a jeweler, you buy a gold watch or a diamond necklace. You know when you do that, right? Every weekend? No. But you know when you go to the jeweler and you're buying this diamond necklace or the gold, what does the jeweler do? He doesn't just hold it up. He picks up a black velvet cloth, and then he puts this shiny thing on top to show the contrast. And all of a sudden, you get the real contrast. Wow! Now you see the brilliance of this diamond or this gold. And that's what he's doing. You want to see the brilliance of Christ and what he did? Let me contrast it with what Adam did. And that's what he's done for us. So what were the similarities? We see that God was both the fathers of Adam and Jesus Christ. They were both perfect. You see, Adam didn't have a human father like we do. All of us have to have a human father biologically. Adam didn't have that. God created him out of the dirt. Christ is the eternal Son who was born of the Holy Spirit, and therefore there was no human father involved either. They were both perfect in the image of God. The image of the invisible God. But then there was a vast distinction. Adam was placed in a beautiful garden, told he could eat of any tree, anything he wanted in that garden, except one. And that's the one he was tempted with, and that's where he fell. Jesus was placed not in a beautiful, pristine garden of Eden. He was placed in the desert, in the wilderness, and he didn't eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. And Satan came and tempted him again and again and again and again and again, not just one temptation. And Satan was totally ineffective against what Christ's power. When Adam sinned, he brought death and sin into the world. Jesus' perfect obedience, the spotless Lamb of God, his one act, he brought eternal life and righteousness. And so now Paul is going to show us now this great effect of how much greater Christ's effect was than Adam's in his work. So let's get our context again, and let's look at last week's Romans 5, verses 12 to 14.
Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death for sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type.
So you remember last week we spoke about federal headship, said Adam was our federal head. God had made Adam, chosen Adam, and we are all in Adam as he is our federal head, our representative. If we were Adam, we would have done exactly the same thing. Don't kid yourself. Don't believe the lie of Lucifer, who is a deceiver, who wants to tell you you would have done a better job or you a better person. Forget it. Adam is our federal head, our representative. You would have done exactly the same thing. And so his imputed sin, his was transferred onto you, inherited by us, and therefore death, physical, eternal, spiritual, came into the world. Christ, now, if we are in Christ, he becomes our federal head, and his righteousness, in the same way, you didn't choose Christ. God elected you. And his righteousness imputed unto you, transferred, inherited, and eternal life. And so this is the picture that Paul is painting for us. Death reigned, meaning everyone died, even between Adam, who was given an explicit command, and then years later, Moses, he has the explicit command of the law, and between them, there was no law, but still every single person, what happened to them? They died. Why? Because death reigned. So much so that in Genesis 6 we see that God goes and wipes out the entire human race except one little family and even all the animals, because everything was cursed under the curse. And when they started again, we see the same thing happened again. After Noah, sin came back into the world because they were still children of Adam. And so, Paul's been making a comparison between the two. But now saying, let me show you what Jesus did and how much better it was. So let's see how much better it was. Romans 5, verse 15 to 17.
But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
This is the word of the Lord to us. May he bless it in our hearing and our application thereof. Amen. Man. So it's like a guy goes to his girlfriend and he says, hey, my dad just got this new car. It's amazing. And he tells her what kind of car it is. And she goes, I'm not familiar with that type of car. He goes, well, you know a Lamborghini? And she goes, yes. He goes, nothing like that. But a billion times better. And so this is what Paul is doing. He's saying, you know, Adam, he has a comparison. The same, but actually Jesus is a billion zillion times better at what he did. Genesis 1, God created everything. It was good. Genesis 2, he created more things. It was good. It was very good when he looked at all his creation. Genesis 3, bad. Sin comes into the world and death through sin. And the whole rest of the Bible is all about the sin and death and God's plan of redemption to overcome this. The curse had come in. The ground is cursed. All the work of Adam, sweat of the brow, cursed. Childbirth, cursed. Relationship, marriage relationship, lording over, cursed. The serpent is cursed. Sin and death in the world. Could you imagine what it would be like to be in a world where there is no sin? Could you imagine a world where there were no need for jails and prisons? No need for a court system? No need for police or military? No wars, no nuclear weapons? No weapons actually at all? Because there was no stealing, no coveting, no lying, no cheating, no adultery, no fornication, no pornography, no Hollywood, just pure flicks. Imagine a world like that. No drugs, no alcoholism, no violence, no gangs, no abortions, no miscarriages, no death, no crying, no pain, no hardship, no sickness, no disease, absolutely no problems. Paradise of God. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, then came the fall. But you know, in this curse that God brought came a promised blessing. In Genesis 3:15, we've seen several times, we called it the proto-evangelion, the beginning of the gospel, where in that curse God pronounces a blessing and says the seed of the woman will crush the serpent's head. And so here's Eve hearing this curse, and then she hears this blessing to come, this pronouncement of blessing, the seed of the woman, and so then she has a child. His name is Cain. Could this be the Redeemer, the one who will crush the serpent's head? What does he do? He crushes his brother's head. He murders his own flesh and blood, his own brother, not the serpent. He's not the Redeemer. The brother's not the Redeemer. So then another son is born, Genesis 5, Seth. Is he the Redeemer? Is he the one? No, because Genesis 5, 1 says, Seth was born in the image of Adam. What was Adam now? A fallen, corrupted sinner. And we go through the next, all these generations and genealogies, born. And is there hope? There's ones who are shadows or types of the Christ and the Redeemer, but are they the Redeemer, the one who will crush the serpent's head? No, because every single one is born of Adam's seed. But then eventually, after 400 years of silence, after no prophet is speaking any longer, a little virgin is pregnant with a child by the Holy Spirit. And now we see the seed of a woman, not of Adam. Adam is not involved. Human man is not involved. But it's God who says, I will bring forth my son. And he is born, and he's hunted down by Herod. They want to kill him, like all the other babies in Bethlehem. And then he has to submit, God in the flesh, submit to human parents. And at 30, he's baptized. And when he's baptized, the sky is ripped open. The Holy Spirit falls out upon him, and a voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Here's the Redeemer. Here, John says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Here's the one, when he takes away the sin of the world, will bring an end to sin and death and Satan. He will crush his head. Now the Redeemer has come, the second Adam, Paul calls him. But oh, he is so much greater than the first Adam. So let's look at our verse, Romans 5, verse 15. So this word free gift in Greek is charisma. You may have heard of the word charisma before, where we get the word charisma or even charismatic. When I was a Christian, my very first church I went to was Charisma Church. It was a charismatic church because they focused on the gifts of the Holy Spirit that many of them that actually had ceased, but that's where they focused. But the word charisma isn't just the gifts of the Spirit as in tongues and healing and all that kind of stuff. The word charisma means the grace gift of God. What is the grace gift? It's the whole package of salvation. Everything that has come through the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that we mentioned and how he came, born of a virgin, born and Herod hunted for him, and then growing up, and then teaching his disciples and discipling them, and healing and casting out demons, and then challenging the rulers and the religious establishment, and them challenging him, and then him suffering and him dying, and then him rising again and ascending and sending his Holy Spirit. All this package is the grace gift of God. All that God has done in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we deserve this grace gift? Of course not. What does Paul say? We're enemies. We're sinners. God hates sin, and God should have hated us. But his redeeming love, his amazing grace, he gives us this grace gift of Christ. And grace then, Paul says, abounds to us. And so now Paul is comparing the grace in Christ compared to the trespass of Adam. And he says, which one do you think is greater? Adam's trespass doesn't stand a chance against the grace of God in Christ. It blows it out of the water. Look at what Isaac Watts says in the song we sang this morning, Jesus Shall Reign.
Jesus shall reign, Isaac Watts. In him, the tribes of Adam boast more blessings than their fathers lost.
Do you agree with Isaac Watts? More blessings than their father was. In other words, he's saying we will be put in a better position than Adam was when he was made perfect in Eden, even before the fall. Because that's what Paul is saying. We don't just end up back in paradise like Adam when there's a new heaven and a new earth, but a bazillion times even better. You know, there's another Isaac. His name is Isaac Newton. Anyone ever heard of him? His third law of motion, what does it say? Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Isaac Watts is saying it's not equal. Paul is saying it's not equal. The trespass of Adam and the grace of Christ, the grace of God is not equal to the trespass. It wipes it out. It is so much superior to the trespass. And guess what? It's not a reaction either. Because before the beginning of time, God knew when he created Adam what Adam and Eve were going to do. And so God didn't react to it. God is proactive. God had a plan in place before he even created the world. Look at 1 Peter and Revelation 13.
Chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake.
All inhabitants of the earth who worship the beast, all whose names have been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain for the creation of the world.
You see, before the creation of the world, God is the Alpha and the Omega. He is transcendent. He lives outside of time. He's the beginning and the end. And therefore, before the beginning of time, the Trinity sat together and they had a plan that they would send Christ, the Redeemer, to die. And his grace wipes the trespass, blows it out of the water. And so many died in Adam, but oh, much more shall the grace of God and the free gift of grace in Jesus abound to many. The redemption is so much greater than the trespass. How much more, Stuart?
Much more.
There's no comparison. Verse 16.
And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification.
So the result, the outcome, is also so much superior than the other ones. It's like a tube of toothpaste, right? You go, how do you get the tube out of the toothpaste? And some kid goes, and all the toothpaste goes, and you go, okay, that was easy. How do you get it back in? That's next to impossible, if not impossible. But Christ's act was impossible and so superior. Adam's one act, his only one offense, brought condemnation. Christ's one act saves all the elect and every single one of their sins, their transgressions. Trillions upon trillions of sins and offenses was placed on Jesus Christ. Could you imagine what he faced when he faced the wrath of God on the cross? in that one act of obedience. From what Adam did to what Christ did, Christ blows Adam's sin out of the water. Verse 15 says God's grace gift blows Adam's trespass, sin out of the water. Verse 16 says the justification now that we have in Christ blows the condemnation of God right out of the water. Justification blows the condemnation away. Remember, the word justification is a forensic term. It's a legal term. God has declared you not just not guilty, but he says now you're righteous. Not just righteous like Adam, righteous like the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God the Son. That's righteous. That's incredible righteousness that's been imputed unto the believer. Romans 8 verse 1 says, now what do we do with this condemnation? Let's have a look.
So now there's no condemnation for those who are born in Christ Jesus.
Condemnation now doesn't stand a chance against the righteousness of Christ, against the declaration of justified. That declaration has been declared over you if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Justified. There is no condemnation, no matter what the liar, the deceiver, Lucifer, tries to do. But look at what they just did. Look at what they, and they've done it again. And you did it again. You just did it this morning. You just thought it. You just said it. You just acted that way. And the voice of God says, justified, righteous. Shut up, Satan. Get behind me. That's what Jesus said when he was tempted by the devil. Get, flee. The Bible says that you and I in Christ can resist the devil by standing on the word of God. And then the devil will flee. He has no more power in that regard. Verse 17.
For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
So once again, Paul now puts Jesus versus Adam, or the first Adam versus the second Adam, and he says death reigned in Christ versus life. Or death reigned in Adam versus life reigning. No. He doesn't say death reigned and now life will reign. He says reign in life. There's a difference. Life reigning is life eternal. That's wonderful. But reigning in life means that you will have everlasting life and you will reign in that life. You see, when sin came into the world, before sin came into the world, what did God say to Adam? He said, rule. He said, rule and lord over my creation. Right? Right? But he fell. He didn't say, manage my creation. You see, what does a manager do? A manager has to deal with problems. A manager has to deal with all kinds of putting fires out and sorting out problems and making sure things don't go wrong. The one who rules over isn't like the manager. The ruler doesn't have to deal with all the problems. The manager does. But when there's a new heaven and a new earth, are there going to be any problems? There's going to be no sin. So there's nothing really that you have to manage because everything is going to run perfectly. And so when God said to Adam, rule, he wasn't saying manage. When he fell, he said, now you have to manage the soil. Because now you have to work against the sin, work against the thorns, work against the thistles. Everything's going to be working against, and you have to strive against that. But when the new heaven and the new earth come, there is no managing. There is just reigning. Reigning with Christ. Can you imagine that? Do this, because I can't. There aren't words for our minds to even comprehend what it means for us to reign in life with Christ, because we don't have a comprehension of that on this side of eternity. It's just too glorious. Death reigned in Adam, but now you reign in life. Friends, death reigned in Adam. Why? Death came into the world. Why? Because Satan lied. What did Satan say? You will not surely die. What did God say? You eat of that fruit, you will Satan says the exact opposite of what God says. You will not surely die. You will be like God. He lied. Because the exact opposite to what Satan said happened. They died and they were the furthest thing from God. They were made in the image of God. And now they fell from being like God. The exact opposite happens when we listen to the devil. And friends, even as Christians, even in Christ, if we're not careful, we can still listen to Lucifer. Even right now in your life, you might know, you're a Christian, you know what the Word of God says. You know. But what Satan is saying about something in your life, you're going, I just like that better. I know what God has said, but I prefer what Satan is saying. Oh, be careful, because he's a liar and a thief, and he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And although if you are in Christ, he doesn't have your soul. He still wants to mess with your life. Resist him. Stand on the word. The Bible says he's got to get. He will flee. He lies. Don't let him lie to you. But Christ's sacrificial death brought the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. Man, we are in a better position than even Adam was before he sinned. We will be in a better position than Adam was even before he sins. You know, Adam, before he sinned, still had the potential to fall in sin. He had the potential to be tempted by Satan. When you and I live in eternity, in the paradise of God one day, there'll be no devil. There will be no temptation. You won't sin. We are so much better off than Adam. Next week, we're going to read where sin abounded, grace superabounded even more. Why? Because the grace of God blows the sin out of the water. There is no comparison. Begin to live your life with the knowledge of that. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand the greatness of what you have done, Lord Jesus, compared to what Christ, what Adam had done, bringing in sin and death into the world. Father, you've called us out of that life to be new creations in Christ. Lord, not to live in sin any longer, not to listen to temptation any longer, not to believe the lies of temptation any longer. Lord, teach us to trust in you and to live this life, this eternal life, even reigning now, beginning on this earth with you, a whole glorious life at a totally different level in the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan is a liar, a thief, to come kill, steal, and destroy. Lord, you have come to bring life to the fullest. Let us live the abundant life that you promised, Lord Jesus, standing on your promises and reveling in your grace and worshiping you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen. Let's stand together and let's sing.
Take one, raise, raise.
5 minute break, and then we come back to welcome new members of our church, and then verse of the month and our 5x5. Let's take 5 minutes.